Well, thank you, Brother Gall. I'm claiming that promise, aren't you? Be new grace when we need it. In the meantime, His grace is sufficient. Amen. I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Philippians with me this morning. We'll help you find it just a little bit. It's in Paul's epistles, of course. Get on through Corinthians and Galatians and Ephesians. Get on over to the little book of Philippians. Philippians was written to a church at Philippi that was started because Paul got falsely accused, he and Silas, and put in jail. And yet out of that, God made good and got a church started. Now Paul is writing them a letter from prison in Rome himself. God is able to make good out of bad. Amen. And I want to talk to you a little bit this morning on staying confident. Just a few verses, beginning in chapter 1 of the book of Philippians, says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with bishops and deacons. Apparently the church has grown now. Sounds like it's a pretty strong church, deacons and all here. Probably they've sent a gift of money to help Paul survive in jail. In those days, if somebody didn't look after you in jail, you didn't even get anything to eat and that sort of thing. And he's writing them a letter back, thanking them here. And he says in verse 2, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And here's a word I want you to pick up on, being confident. I want to preach to you a little this morning on staying confident. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. How long? Until the day of Jesus Christ. Over in the book of Hebrews, where it talks about the priesthood of the Lord Jesus being better than the Old Testament priesthood and the new covenant unto him. And over there it says, cast not away your confidence. After it's all been explained, what we have in Jesus and how confident we can be in it, the warning is don't cast it away. Now, we live in a day and time right now where Christian confidence is pretty weak, seems like. Seems like the tax is coming and all the troubles that are here and all the bad news that we hear. If we're not careful, we'll lose our confidence to our own hurt. We have to be careful about that. Satan hates a Christian that is certain about anything, a Christian that is confident about anything. And yet, if you're going to have peace, you're going to have confidence in the Lord, not in the circumstances, not in the world you see. Somebody said we live in a nervous generation. We live in a generation of fingernails, cigarettes, and coffee cups. Now, don't get me wrong, I like coffee. In fact, I had to prop up on it this morning. I didn't sleep very good last night. But the truth is, it is a nervous age because the news comes constantly. In the old days, it took a little longer. Now, just at the push of a button on your phone or on the TV or whatever it is, and of course, they're gonna report the worst of the worst. Amen. They always do. And if we're not careful, it'll steal our confidence away in the things of God, amen, that we better lock on to and hold on to. And the text here is speaking of confidence. I want to name some things to you a little bit this morning that we can have confidence in. You know, the truth is confidence is pretty important. You ever hear somebody say, well, he didn't have any confidence in himself. Well, sometimes it's good maybe not to have too much, but you won't succeed if you don't believe you can succeed, amen? You have to have an attitude. I think about the traveling salesman. I think it was Tremendous Jones that told this story. He said he was driving through the country on the way to a meeting, And he saw a sign side the road with a little boy standing out there, and he said, dog for sale. And he just had 50 cent or something on it. And Tremendous Jones stopped. He's a promoter. He was always positive. And he stopped and told the little boy, said, look, said, you'll never sell that dog that way. He said, you ought to evaluate him higher, and folks will think he's more valuable. So on the way back by, he saw the little boy had a sign, dog for sale, $10,000. He said, uh-oh, I overdid it. But he said, on the way back again, I watched, and sure enough, the sign said sold. He said, I stopped and said, don't tell me you got $10,000 for that mutt. Little boy said, oh yeah. I said, I swapped him for two $5,000 cats. Confidence has a whole lot to do with it, amen? We ought to have some confidence. Let me say some things we can have confidence in. To begin with, we can have confidence that we have God's word, amen? The Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And the truth of the matter is, I'm glad that I can understand that I have what God wanted me to have. Somebody said, man couldn't have written it if he would, and wouldn't have written it if he could. You know why? Because it tells the truth on man. It tells that man's a depraved sinner. He's helpless unless we have the grace of God that we were singing about a while ago. The truth of the matter is, we've got God's word. I believe it to be God's word. And when I read it, it quiets my fears. The Bible is way ahead of all this mess we're reading about. You know that? All this stuff we're hearing, all this evil day that is upon us. We can see the bad now, but it's no, listen to me, it's not shocking God. He said it would happen. I've often said this, did it ever occur to you that nothing occurs to God? I mean, the Lord doesn't look over heaven's banister and say, oh, I didn't understand that was going to happen. Oh, yes, he did. He warned against it. He told it would happen. And so we have confidence. We have the very, very word of God. You know, we look around now and we see all this stuff going. But, you know, the truth of the matter is, God's already got a plan for it. He's still sovereign. He's still going to have his will. You know, men have been trying to rewrite this book, but we need to reread this book. We need to get back to see what God said about it. And somebody said, well, he broke the word of God. No, you don't break the word of God. It breaks you. You say, I broke one of the Ten Commandments. No, the Ten Commandments broke you. And whatever God said would be the consequence of it, you can count on that consequence coming. It's going to rise. So I'm confident I have the very word of God. And if I had time, I could tell you so many reasons. Prophetically, it's being fulfilled everywhere you look. The very things you read the headlines today, God's already written them in the Bible. You know, this Bible predicted the computer age that most of you are so interested in right now, addicted to right now. Oh yeah, read the book of Daniel. The time he predicted would come when many would run to and fro, the jetting all over the world, and knowledge would be increased. And the increase of the knowledge with the computer age has been astounding. It is amazing to me. You know, when the first computer went in our church office, I thought we'd really done something. I found out 6 weeks later it was out of date. That's right. And I've had all kind of folks wanting another one and another one. And I say, how about your cell phones? How many of them have you had? I remember the first time somebody took my car and put a phone in it. It looked like an old-fashioned phone. It lasted a few weeks and something went wrong with it. And I took it to the shop to get it fixed. And they said, oh, this thing's out of date. I said, what do you mean it's out of date? I just had it put in. We're in the day and time that knowledge has increased. Things have changed. It's a different world than it was, but the Bible was way ahead of it. It predicted it all the time. Amen? Yeah, we can be confident we have the very word of God. Now, men are trying to rewrite it, trying to change it. The parts they don't like, they're trying to cut out. They're trying to make things they did, that God said don't do now acceptable, like homosexual marriage and all that other business that's going on. God's already condemned that in the Bible, and he didn't change his mind. It's still written just the same way. But we can be confident we have God's word. We can be confident that we can know we're saved. Now, the biggest news that ever came across me was to be able to know that I could go to heaven before I died. You can know it now. I mean, that was the best news. I saw on Fox News the other day, I don't know who put it on, I don't know if it'll come on back again, but the screen kind of looked like it went blank. And then there was this caption up there, typed out, And it said, do you know when you die if you go to heaven? Did anybody see that? I thought, what in the world? Then the next caption said, you can know, contact us at .com, everything's .com, you know, but somewhere. And I thought, that is good. Praise God. By the way, that's probably the only news outlet you'd see that on. And I haven't seen any more. But you know what the best news is? That you can know you're going to heaven when you die. And you can be confident of that. Man, the Bible says, these things have I written unto you, 1 John 5:13, that you may know that you have eternal life. Not hope so, not guess so, not maybe so, but that you can know that you have eternal life. Know it. Know it now. Know it now while you're breathing and eating and doing all life. You can still know that heaven is my home. I want to tell you, if you get that assurance in your heart, if you get confident of that, it'll make the rest of this world seem like not so serious to you, not so scary to you, amen? You can be confident that you're saved. There's a difference when you get saved. Oh, listen, the Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. You folks that have been born again, you received Christ as Savior. Now you look back on that old life you lived and you say, what a difference, what a difference. We move from darkness into light. What a difference. And things I loved to used to do, I wouldn't do them now. They would not be pleasing to God, and I would be grieved if I did them now. The Bible says that if any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. And behold, all things become new. You know what would be new to me in the old days? You wouldn't have caught me in church like this, right? But now it's where I want to be. Somebody said, I got to go to church. It's Sunday. I feel sorry for you. I go because I want to, not because I have to. There's a big difference, amen? You can know that you're saved and you've passed from death unto life and you've become a new creature. That means you've got a new taste, new desires. I look over in 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 3, and it tells me over there, and hereby we do know. What's the word know? Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. It's not talking about keeping the big 10 commandments, but it's talking about what Jesus said pleased him. I want to do now. I've had a change of heart. I've become a new creature in him. My interests, my desires, my taste is completely different from what it was. And you know something? I can be confident I'm saved. I can see all the evidences that I couldn't see before. The Bible says we know we passed from darkness unto light because we love the brethren. Now, I've often joked and said you don't love the brethren if you're gossiping about them. One lady said she was going to trade in her vacuum cleaner for a telephone because she could pick up more dirt that way. Right? No, you don't love them. You say, well, they done wrong. Okay, pray for them. It's not your job to advertise it and gossip about it. Amen? Somebody said a lady that don't gossip has no friends to speak of. Well, amen, you didn't get that. But it's a difference. When I came to church before I was saved, I didn't love the brethren. I sort of criticized them. I saw Brother Bird, I saw that song leader up there doing this. I said, look at him showing off in front of the women. That's right. I was a lost boy sitting on the back, criticizing everything I saw. But then I got saved. Fell in love with the brethren. They became my best friends. They became the ones I wanted to be around. They became the crowd I was comfortable with because they hadn't changed. They were already there. I had to catch up with them, and my desires had to change. And that's what happened when I got saved. And there's a noticeable difference. Evidence, if you please, that you love the brethren. I know I'm saved because I also have the witness of the Spirit within me. Romans 8:16 says the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I enjoyed the choir a while ago, didn't you? Now the Spirit inside of me enjoyed it. I felt, oh yeah, that's my song. That's my testimony. That's a blessing. Praise the Lord. Somebody sings a special. You know what? I got a little fellow inside called the Holy Spirit that says amen. I like to hear that. Difference. Some of you kids that are having a hard time out there listening, breaking away from rock music, you need to get really born again, and you'll find out your taste will change. You find out it's easier to let go of the devil's music and pick up God's music, because the Holy Spirit inside will witness to what is right and what is wrong and what is pleasing and what is not pleasing to God. Oh, it's amazing how kids, well, even some that come to church and they hear a preacher preach like this, and then they go and you go out there and crank up their car and turn on the radio and see what station they were listening to. Listening to the Grateful Dead or some other hoax name like that. The truth of the matter is, we listen to our radio station because we hear songs that praise the Lord Jesus and remind us of where we're going instead of where we came from. Amen? Big difference. Now you can have that confidence that you know you're saved. You got evidences of it that you can notice. You got the witness of the Spirit of God on the inside, an assurance, a confidence that is inside. But the biggest reason we know we're saved is we know our sins are paid for, already paid for. I'm glad I don't have to face God to pay for my sins. I couldn't pay for them. The Bible says in Isaiah 53 that all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord have laid on him, on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Who paid for it all? Jesus did when he died on the cross of Calvary. When he shed his blood for our sins, he didn't miss a one of mine. I might have hid some of mine from mom or dad, but never was able to hide them from God. But when Jesus took them on the cross, he took all of them. He paid the whole price. That's why I can stand up here today and tell you I know if I die today, I'm going to heaven because my sins are paid for. I won't have to face that account. We sang a song, the old account was settled long ago. I'm glad it was. Saved, settled on the cross of Calvary, amen? And the biggest reason I know that I'm saved is he paid the price for it. And you know what? That is good news. A lot of folks go around, no peace, live in fear, because they know they've done this and that wrong, and they think, maybe I can live long enough to outlive that, and maybe I can live long enough that person will forgive me or this thing. The truth is, you can have instant forgiveness when you come to Jesus and let him be your sin bearer. Let him pay the price for you, and a price you couldn't pay, a price too high for you, because you see, you are a sinner, but he was sinless, and he was able to take our sin. He loved us, the scripture says, while we were yet sinners. He paid the price. Thank God for that. You can be confident that you know that you're saved. I tell you, that's the best news that I ever heard. I'm confident that I have the confidence that he can answer my prayers. You know, the scripture says in several places that there's nothing too hard for God. Aren't you glad of that? You say, that bad thing I done, yes, but he can pay for that. He will pay for that. He says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How much unrighteousness? All of it. All of it. Oh, that's a wonderful truth to know. I'm confident that he can answer my prayers. My own, I could tell you stories. There's a book back there in that counter. It's called His Hand is Real. Many of the stories in there are answered prayers, many of them having to do with the church and having to do with me personally. And I've been here pastoring now 50 years, folks. I've seen some things. I've seen God's hand revealed so many times. I've seen some dead-end streets and some valleys, but I've never found one yet God couldn't lift me out of and give me the answer to. I'd suggest you read some of those answered prayers. Certainly not all of them. I'd take more books than that. But the truth of the matter is that he can answer prayer. I've had so many personal prayers answered of my own. And I've known of so many others, church members, some of our missionaries. Boy, some of the missionaries can tell you some stories. Because, see, they were thrown out there in a place where they couldn't do it. Nobody else could do it for them. Only God could do it for them. I think about the missionary in the jungles, tropics, super hot. He was, you know, the people will look to you not only for the gospel, they'll look to you for other helps too. And so he did all the things he could medically, and he had some training in it. And he told about a time that a mother brought him a little boy, just pretty much a toddler. And the baby was basically dying. And she'd become a Christian, a believer. And she didn't take him to the witch doctor, but she took him to the missionary. And he tells a story how that he done all he could, but the baby was dying anyway. And the mother said to him, said, "Isn't there anything you can do?" He said, "Well, ma'am, if I was in a clinic, if I was in a hospital, I might could take a tube and I might could inject him in, but," he said, I would have to have abundance of ice." And he said, "We have no ice out here." He said, I'd have to have it to do this." And she said, "Well, let's ask God for ice. You said, you preached that God could do anything. There was nothing too hard for God. Let's ask God for ice." He said, "I said, ma'am, we're out here in a tropical jungle. There's no ice to be had." She said, "Let's pray and ask God for ice." He said, "Okay." He said, she prayed like a mother would pray for a baby. He said, "I just more or less said amen and asked God," but said, "I didn't believe God was going to give us any ice out here. How could God give us ice out here in this place?" He said, all of a sudden, when she quit praying, lightning clapped, thunder sounded, and the hardest downpour started, and said, all of a sudden, it changed from rain to hail. And he said, right at the door, we had a pile of ice like you would not believe pile up. He said, "I got it." And he said, I begin to use it. And sure enough, we saved the baby's life. He said, "Don't tell me God can't answer prayer." Something that just could not happen did happen. And over and over, I think about a man was in my church here a few times years ago. He was a retired missionary. He's dead now, a long time. But he was in World War II. He was in the Philippine Islands when the Japanese invaded and the awful stuff that happened over there in the Philippines. And they were occupied. He said, "I was a missionary before they got there. Said they didn't kill me. They killed a lot of others. But," he said, "they put us on the house arrest." He said, "We couldn't leave." He said, "Any time a group of soldiers might come through and just walk through your house. And if they saw anything in there they wanted, they took it." He said, "They mistreated a lot of people. It was an awful time." And he said, it was a scary time. He said, "We had to go to a water hole to get a bucket of water." And he said, "I went there generally during the middle of the day when it was hot enough. I felt like the soldiers would not be around because they were so dangerous to you." And he said, "I went out around the middle of the day with a bucket to go down to the water hole, thinking I'd hurry and run back and maybe none of the soldiers would bother me." And he said, "The hole was down a bank where the water was." And he said, "As I went to the bank," he said, "I slipped." And he said, "I fell down the bank." And he said, "The bucket hit the ground and all the noise." And he said, "Sure enough, here comes some soldiers out around me." And he said, "I stood up, picked up my bucket," and said, "Then I saw their faces. Their faces were full of fear." He said, "They began to back off." He said, "I went ahead and got my water, and I went home." He said, "After a while, here come a platoon of soldiers with a leader. And the captain came in." He said, "I want to know, where are you hiding them?" He said, "Hiding what?" He said, "Hiding all those men that was in shiny clothes when you went after water." He said, "I knew who the shiny clothes were. I couldn't see them, but God revealed himself and scared those soldiers off from doing me any harm." Now you say, "You believe that?" I believe it with all my heart. I believe God can answer prayer. He can protect. He can watch over us in every kind of way. We can have confidence that he answers prayer. You know, I'm glad of that. I'll tell you something else I'm confident of. And the more I see the bad headlines, the more I am confident Jesus is coming. I believe he's coming soon. I really believe he's coming soon. You know, he said he would, didn't he? said, if I go away, I will come again. That's what he said. We look around for the signs, but I think we ought to just be listening for the sounds, for the trumpet. I think it's that close. See the signs in Israel coming back as a nation. Seeing the thing where the president was able to move the capital back and make the embassy in Jerusalem. Folks, that's Bible being fulfilled. When you have the peace treaty talking going on, that's Bible being fulfilled. No, it's not the one the Antichrist will break until the temple's involved, but it's coming. It'll be the same one. It'll flesh out to finally take that step also. Listen, we have every reason in the world as born-again Christians to be thinking Jesus might come any minute. Any moment. Yes, we do. Truth of the matter is, he's coming just that way. Bible says, in such hours you think not. There's a lot of people think not. Young people, you're probably in the biggest group that thinks not. We older folks not only think he is, we want him to come soon. We about wore out this old body we're dragging around. We just soon traded in for a new one. You say, well, I'm young and healthy. The one I'm going to get is more healthy than you are now. Amen. When I get changed, when I have my moment with the Lord, brother, I'm telling you what, that's going to be great. So I'm willing for him to come soon. But if it takes a little while, he's still coming. He's still coming. Amen. And I'm confident of that. I'm also confident that if he don't come, I can still face death. We were singing, Brother Gall was singing about, we'd get new grace when we need it. New grace. Grace to cross the river. Grace when he calls us. And the truth is, he'll give that grace at that time. Yes, he will. You know, men are in fear of death. We see that in the pandemic stuff. Everybody's so afraid. It is amazing. I'm more afraid of this than some things that are much worse. But anyway, man is in bondage to his fear. Fear of death and all of that business. But listen, when you get saved, death don't scare you as much as it used to. When you read the promises of God's word and find out, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Amen. And so it's not the booger it used to be to us. You know, as I'm an old preacher now. I started out younger, but I'm old now. Pastored in this church 50 years and a little bit before that in another church. I've seen a lot of folks slip out in God's presence. I've seen enough to where death don't scare me as bad as it used to. I've heard some great testimonies from God's dying saints. Some great testimonies. You know, it's a big difference. I've seen mothers hug their loved ones as they were passing on, saying, preacher, you can see them. Tell the others. No, I couldn't see them, but I believe they were there. I believe she saw them. I really do. I think about several instances. I think about the old man that was in the church I took in the country. He was an old pioneer. He used to tell me about the wild horses they'd gather up and how they'd have to go all the way to the ocean to get salt off the shores and bring back. So, you know, didn't have just go down the store and buy salt. They had to go back and haul it under the wagon. And he'd tell me those old stories from way, way back. And he loved the Lord. Even though he was old and hurting, he'd be the church first one in the wintertime to open up the door and turn the heaters on. He just loved God. And then one day I got a call that he was in the hospital, and I went over to see him. They didn't have tubes in him. They didn't have a ventilator or anything on him. He was just laying there. He was a good-sized man, old pioneer. And I walked in and talked to him, and we fellowshipped a little bit. He seemed pretty good. And I started to leave. And I said, well, I'll see you tomorrow. And he said, no, preacher, they're coming after me tonight. I said, you going home tonight? He said, no, they're coming after me. I was about halfway to the door, and it hit me what he was saying. I turned around and went back. His name, last name was Story, S-T-O-R-Y. I said, Brother Story, are you saying God's coming after you? yeah, they're coming acting tonight. I said, no. I said, you got to stay and help me at the church. We don't want you to go yet. I started back to the door, and I said the same thing again. I'll see you tomorrow. He said, preacher, they're coming after me tonight. I walked across the hall to another lady who's a church member. And I went there, and I said, Sister Dobson, Brother Story's crossed over there, and he thinks God's going to take him tonight. And I told her about it, and I went on home. I come back the next morning. I couldn't hardly get it out of my mind. I come back the next morning. I looked in his room, and it was empty. I went across the hall to Sister Dobson. I said, where'd they take Brother Story? She said, preacher, about midnight. She said the emergency lights come on, and people ran up and down the hall and said, finally, they rolled him out. He's dead. I thought God was so good to tell him, I'm coming at you tonight. When I could tell you stories like that, I can tell you death's not the booger it used to be. It's not to be feared like so many fear it today. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ and the Lord chooses to call you home, that's okay, you know it. If he calls us without death, that's even better. But do you know that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Do you have that confidence? Cast not away your confidence. Don't let the world steal it from you. The truth is, to have that confidence in the Lord makes living a lot easier. Somebody has well said, a man is not ready to live until he's ready to die. Are you ready to die? You can only be ready to die if you know the one that conquered death on your behalf, the Lord Jesus Christ. Is he your Savior? He'd love to be your Savior today. You can receive him as simply as leaving that seat, meeting me here at the front and say, preacher, I'm going to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe on him. I believe he was the Son of God that loved me and died for me, and I'm going to let him be my Savior. Would you do that? If you want to get over this fear of death, you want to get peace in your heart, come let the Lord Jesus Christ be your Savior. You'll have confidence that this world can't give you. I say to you, he'll accept you if you'll accept him. Will you do it right now? I pray you will. Let's bow our heads and stand, please. On God's authority of his book, his gospel, in his church, his preacher, we invite you to come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. I promise you on his word, that you'll receive him, he'll receive you. That's what he said. Whosoever cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. He'll receive you. Will you do it as we give an invitation? Father, may you add your blessing. And as we sing, Father, we pray that those present would come and receive Christ. Father, there's a lot of people here that already have, but there's a few that have not. You know them. They know it. And Father, today is their opportunity. May they leave with a confidence they've never had before because they've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. For we ask it in his name. Amen. We're going to sing. I'll step to the front. Will you come?
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood.
Will you come as we sing? Will you come? Are you saved? Do you know it? It's your privilege to know. As we sing, will you come?
Come
as we sing.
To thee.
Let's bow our heads a moment as the music continues. Invitation's still open. Some folks have come. You still got time to come. Maybe God's speaking to you about moving a church membership, or maybe you've been saved and never baptized. You ought to come present yourself for that first act of obedience unto God, picturing the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever God's asked you to do right now, will you do it? I'm going to ask Brother Bert to lead us in another verse. Will you come?
Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight rich as healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I call.
Brother Bert, lead us in another verse. I still believe somebody is debating right now in their very soul about coming.
Just as I am, thou
listen to the words. That's the way he'll receive you, just as you are.
Wilt welcome heart.
He won't leave you like you are. He'll change you. He'll make a difference. The old things will pass away. You'll have a new taste and a new desire. If you let the Lord Jesus come inside.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
All right, we're going to let you be seated in the congregation. We'll share some with you here.